Good morning, everyone. Oh, let me put some lipstick on. I forgot. I looked into the camera and I was like, there's some naked lips right there. Let's go with something easy that we can apply while you all are coming in. Today is Zoom code. This is Q&A. All right. Let me just. Thank you, everyone. That looks like a crazy mess. we look good enough. Let's put it that way. All right. Sorry about that, y'all. Usually I don't come to the meeting unprepared, put my makeup on for y'all, but I don't think I could have looked at naked lips like that for a whole hour. All right. Today is Urge Day. We are going to be, I'm going to give you a shorter version of the busting urges process today. Like, it's the same process that you have inside your Urges 2.0 course. So let me get my notes out. Where'd they go? Here we go. It's the ending overeating with the busting urges process. So it's module 3, lesson 7 of the No BS weight loss program. If you want to see that full video in action. All right. Now, today I want to go over it because I want to make sure that if you have any questions about it, you want some help with it, that you have the opportunity to ask me, since this is the month that we are studying urges all together. So if you do not know, then you are this call. We are going to talk about urges because for the month of September, we are going through Urges 2.0 inside of the membership. So I have a few announcements and then we will get to the busting urges process. The first thing is, do not forget the new PDF of our current planner, our food planner, is releasing on September the 25th. So we are going to retire the old planner in exchange for Corinne's new version. I have been working really hard on this. I have thought long and hard. The planners need a facelift for over 2 years now. So we will be putting a new one into play. The only difference is, oh, sorry, Lisa, let me get you on stage. Let me pull up the participants. The only difference for y'all is we're not going to keep them in a warehouse anymore to order. But what we are going to do is we are going to give you the PDF, just like we do with all workbooks. So it'll be very similar to how we do workbooks for courses. So however you use our current workbooks in your weight loss journey, you'll just use the planner the same way. So if you like to get them printed for yourself, a lot of you go online to different places and get them printed. We will give you instructions to use FedEx. They have really good affordable prices where you can print the planner cheaper than even what I could even get it for you anymore. That was one of the reasons why we've decided to give y'all the PDF version of it and let you source your printing. It's just, it used to be I could get it cheaper for you. I can't get it cheaper anymore because I have to pay for storage and all like handling for another company to do all this kind of stuff. There are so many really good, easy, simple, like within 3 seconds, you can get it ordered online and get it sent to you places that they're cheaper now for you. And I would much rather you have a more affordable option than what I can offer. The other main reason that we're doing it this way is if we have a PDF version that I don't have 10,000 copies sitting in a warehouse waiting for, you know, someone to order, for some dude to go ship and do all this other stuff. If we introduce something in the membership that you all love, we can put it into play immediately instead of waiting 2.5 years. So I've been teaching the four N's for about a year now, and I have wanted to introduce that to you because it is such a game changer for how all of you are doing thought work. So many people are saying, when I started doing the four N's, that did the trick, Corinne. Like, now I understand how my brain works. Now it's easy to do thought work. Now I'm not afraid of my thinking. And I haven't been able to do that because we have like 500 fucking thousand copies of printers or planners sitting in a warehouse. So it just works better for all of us. And then if for some reason you are like, you know what? Like, I like doing things online. What can I do? You just download the PDF to your computer, which is your favorite device. We are doing it just like we do the workbooks. If you want to be able to type into it, we made it editable. So for those of you who like that, it's still that way. Always has been. Nothing's changing other than they ain't gonna be kept in a warehouse anymore. You're just gonna be able to print for yourself. How many journal pages are in the new planner? None. It's going to just be the food planner. We are going to create separate journal books for y'all, which is another big option that we can do for y'all that we could not do before. So what we want to do is come up with some really good themed 30-day journals for y'all that you can just print whenever you want. And they will have the four ends and they will have all the new stuff in there. So there's lots of exciting things rolling out that I think is just going to make your weight loss easier, simpler. And for all of you who want to do, like, some of you just don't want to do that much thought work. You're just like, I ain't got that much shit going on in my head, Corinne. I don't want to sit around and like write all day and dig around in my soul and all this other stuff. I just want to plan my food. That's what I want to do, Corinne. That is why we are pulling them apart, so that for those of you who are like, I am busy and I just need to plan my food, we're going to have this 30-day planner and it's going to have exactly what you need in it. And it's all the things that I have watched you struggle with have been removed, and the things that you are doing really well with have been added. On the flip side, for all of you who are just like, I am fucking loving the four ends. I want to journal like it's my job, Corinne. We are going to be taking care of you by creating some of these custom journals, and you'll see them roll out over time. If I'm in maintenance, do I use the new food planner? No, maintenance people, you'll just continue. Like if you're a maintenance person, you use the maintenance planner. This is, and you know, the maintenance people, you have your PDF and you also have it in that editable format if you want to download it and use it. So maintenance have their, like, this is one of the beautiful things about being here at the No BS. If you're in maintenance, we have a planner for you. If you are in weight loss mode, we have a planner for you. If you are in, like, I love figuring out my brain and untangling that heifer, we are going to have journals for you. So all of the things, yes. And if you right now, if you like, you know that our old journal, the one that we're getting ready to retire, our old planner, it's still on sale. We will have those there for you until we either sell out or we take them down. If you've ordered some, great. If you ordered one and you're just like, oh, have I missed out on something? Like, trust me, it's like you can lose weight on that planner. People have been losing weight on that planner for years. And will the journals be PDF? Yes, everything is always going to be given to you in PDF format. When we give it to you in a PDF, that means you can print it. You can do anything that you want to it. Okay. All right. Saba, the four ends, I'm out of the loop because I've not been doing the work. No worries. We have plenty of videos on them. So we have some quick hits and stuff. I'm sure Coach Lisa will give you a link to where you can go and watch the introduction of the four ends. And one last announcement on September 25th. One reason why the new version of the planner is rolling out is because on September 25th, a new version of modules 1 and 2 of No BS is rolling out, which I'm just going to tell y'all, best work ever that I've done. I was so excited when I was filming them, and my brother films me. And when we did module 2, and this is my brother who is like real new to all this thought work stuff. And I will just tell you, my baby brother is a No BS Woman Ultra fan. I mean, he just loves y'all. Many of you probably talked, a lot of you talk to him on the phone when you have technical issues. And he, like, that is the thrill of his life. Like, he literally loves, he's like, well, I talked to a couple of my ladies today. He calls y'all his ladies. So he just loves y'all. So we're filming it. And my brother's like the ultimate hype man. Every time I would finish, he's like, sis, seriously, this is great. Like, I understand it. And he's like, and when you said this, I was sitting over just nodding my head. And then we did one video where I cried in the middle of the video. I'm going to leave it as a big surprise. When y'all see the new discovery worksheet video, please bring your Kleenex and your tissues. I had to film it. I think we filmed it 3 times. We had a filming mishap. No, we filmed it twice. The first time we filmed it, I like fell out crying, just couldn't even get through it. But we were like, we're just going to use that. My brother cried the whole time with me. My brother has a saying, when you cry, I cry. And so Chris told us that the memory card had run out and we didn't get that one. I was like, you're kidding me. Of all the ones, the one where I'm telling the most gut-wrenching story and I'm crying my eyes out. So we do it again. I get through the first part of the story where I cried the last time. Second part, I fell apart again. I was like, Well, there we go. So I think you all will enjoy it. I think it will really help you with understanding the power of the discovery worksheet and why it's so valuable for you. So I know that everybody's like, he's not bad looking either. I know my brother, shit. He come out the womb cute. Like, just seriously, he's just been a cutie patootie all his life. So that is the update on what's coming. So I hope y'all are excited. The rest of the month, though, we are talking about all things urges, because urges are the one thing that if we conquer them, they make all the difference in our weight loss. So the four basics kind of tell you what to do, and they set you up to experience urges. That's the point of the four basics. If you think about it, if you are no longer eating when you're not hungry, you present to yourself the gift of urges, all of the urges to eat that you've been eating over to solve. So let's say you're not hungry, like you check in, you're like, oh shit, I'm over here wanting a Snicker bar. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I hate my fucking job. And now I'm going to have to sit with an urge to eat a Snicker bar because I'm no longer not eating when my body doesn't need food. So it presents urges to us left and right. So when you plan, I want you to think about your planner. That is to make sure that you now present to yourself the urges to eat with spontaneity, to eat because it was offered, to change, to go against what you were going to do for yourself with your greater good in mind, to do what your immediate gratification needs are. When you wait for hunger, you now present to yourself moments when you've been eating because you're lonely, because you're tired, because you sit around and grouse about your job. You just need a little reward to get to 5 o'clock, those kinds of things. So then you have urges. When you stop at enough, it presents to you the urges to relax, eat, to keep the eating going because you don't know how to relax. So the point of the four basics is not only to look like it makes sense to do those things, but they also invite all of your urges to come to the surface. So that's why in module 3, we cover urges and no BS, because then you have to learn how to start dealing with life when food is no longer the option. And that's what most of us have been doing. Like, if let's say on Friday afternoons, let's say on Fridays, your boss likes to buy everybody lunch, then you have to deal with the urge to just go along with everyone because you don't want to be rude. So now you're presented with relearning, is it rude to say no? Is it rude, or is it just saying no and they probably don't give a shit? It allows you to start being like, oh, wait, I've been living my life like a people pleaser. I've just been assuming people wouldn't like me if I didn't go. This allows you to work on your fear of missing out, as if like, well, if I don't go to lunch, I won't be with the cool kids, rather than if I don't go to lunch, I'm just going to miss a conversation. They probably like me for these reasons, not because I attend lunch. It allows you to work on your stuff. Okay. So let's talk about the busting urges process. Number one is the step one is the simplest one of all. Well, let's put it this way. It's the easiest one to understand. It's a simple step, but it's not always easy to do. Don't eat. Literally, the first step to busting an urge has to be, you have to say no in the moment when you know you should. So if you're not hungry, the first step to busting the urge is you can't eat over it. You're not going to bust urges by giving into them. You're only going to bust urges first and foremost by saying no first. All right. So are we all on the same page? We have to make an agreement with ourselves that in the moment that we want to eat, for whatever reason it is, that we are going to say no first. And we're going to allow ourselves to have a few moments of discomfort. I'm not talking about like driving nails up your forearms, peeling fingernails back. We're not talking about that level of discomfort. It's that the reason why I'm uncomfortable is because I know my brain wants to eat because it's used to eating in this moment. My job is to figure out why it would like to eat in this moment when I know I don't need to. I don't need to clean my plate. My body's telling me I've had enough. My body is saying I'm not hungry. My plan is saying these are the things when I was in my morning brain that was just like, oh my God. Like whatever you put on the plan, like we have to say no. And so, Nancy, can you put that in the Q&A instead of the chat so I can answer it? I'll answer it when I get done teaching. Thank you, Lisa or Judith. All right. So that's the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to say no. And the second step that we're going to do, there's actually, I want to just teach this because it's not in the original content. It will be in January. This is when module 3 will get rewritten, is pause plus permission. So I want y'all to think about this. We're going to not eat and we're going to have like step 1A for now because Corinne ain't got it in the videos yet. Step 1A is going to be, I want you to pause plus permission, which simply means I agree that I am going to not eat in this moment and I'm going to give myself 3 minutes or whatever time frame you like. Some people are like, you know, I can do 5 minutes. Some people are like, I could do 15. Some people say I could do a half an hour. Some people say I could do 1 minute, 30 seconds, whatever time frame that you feel like is doable and realistic for you. I want you to identify that. So everybody listening to this call right now, type into the chat. How long do you think would be a compassionate, don't answer me yet, compassionate, reasonable amount of time that you could experience not eating without extreme suffering? Like where you could, like, I could tolerate some uncomfortableness, but after this point, it would be extreme suffering for me. So 15 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, 15, 5 to 10. Okay. 5 to 7. Great. Some of you, and this is what I want y'all to think about. I want you to think about this. It doesn't matter how long for any of you. So some of you, it's longer and some of you, it's shorter. One thing I do not want anybody doing is feeling bad about their number. All of you have a different and varying level of past diet trauma, things said to you about food over your lifetime. So conditioning around food, your nervous system has had like varying levels of impact over time. So I promise some of you, 30 seconds to a minute is a huge win in the beginning. To go from just automatically eat, like the moment you feel an urge to just being able to like, no, I'm not going to eat. No, I can't stand this. Being able to start with a small container and eventually spreading it out over time because your nervous system starts realizing we're safe. Nothing bad's going to happen to us. If I want to eat, I always can. I've not in the past, either I haven't given myself permission to eat or someone in authority hasn't given me permission to eat. For a lot of us, when we have like food-based trauma, we may have been punished around food as children, or we may have experienced traumatic events around food. So maybe you decided to cope with eating because when you ate, it was because your parents fought like cats and dogs. And that was the only way that you could escape. And so your nervous system always imprints. That's why for so many of you, sitting with urges, it doesn't make sense why it's so intolerable at times. But when you kind of go back, and this is where the four N's come into play. Like I notice I'm having an urge. When you go to that normalized step and you really start looking back on your food history and you start realizing like, It's no wonder it's hard for me. My nervous system is reacting to the way it did when it was a child. It did when it was, you know, maybe you were in your 20s and you were with a, you know, douchebag boyfriend who was really hard on you about your body and really hard on you about everything that you ate. And then now your nervous system is still reacting to those things. So when we normalize it, it makes us feel some peace with that stuff. So it's important for all of you. So you figure out your container. You figure out like, all right, I'm going to give myself a pause plus a permission. And that's going to allow me to say, here's how long I am willing to use the process so that I can learn if I truly need to eat. So I can learn if I can discover new coping mechanisms for myself that doesn't involve food, so that I can untangle, like, you know, it's not that big a deal if I tell my boss no. Sometimes I'll plan for that lunch, but, you know, most of the time, I think everybody will be okay if I don't go. I've got other things I would love to do than to just go to lunch with the coworkers. So it just allows you awareness and clarity and time to settle some things down. The permission part, so pause plus permission, means that when your container is done, you get to decide if you want to eat. This is an important aspect because for many of us, we have denied ourselves food for so long. We have made it to where if we're eating, it's like it's a bad thing, that we have deprivation and restriction thoughts with that just get triggered automatically. So when you give yourself permission, what you're doing is you're essentially retraining your brain that you are releasing food rules. That what you are doing is you are really learning how to be someone who just thinks before they eat. That's all we're really doing, is we want to be someone who thinks before they eat instead of reacting to their life, responding to their nervous system, not giving themselves other options to cope in life and things like that. All right. So don't eat is step one. 1A, which is not in that lesson, is pause plus permission. Step two now is to feel that urge. So in module two of No BS, there is something called the now process where you do a body scan. So for all of you, an urge is simply, I have a thought for food. I want that. I need that. I've had a hard day. I did so good today. There's some thought that triggers the feeling of urge. Your brain has chemicals like cortisol and adrenaline and different things like that. It's like a bartender, your brain. It makes your cocktail, shakes it up, and then it sends it to the bloodstream. The urge is what is the chemicals that are sent through the bloodstream. The bloodstream is what makes you feel flushed. It's what makes your chest feel tight. It's all of those things. That's actually the urge. Often what we do is we confuse the urge with all of our thoughts. So you'll have a lot of thoughts like, you know, oh my God, I just want to eat. Oh my God, this urge is terrible. Oh my God, oh my God. One of the things that we want to do is after we decide to pause and give ourselves permission to eat after, is we want to do the body scan so that it stops our brain from saying, I want that. And then dogpiling. So you've got the, I want that thought that has the urge feeling. And most urges aren't that intense. What makes the urge intense is the thoughts about the urge, like, oh shit, you shouldn't eat. Oh my God, this is going to last forever. Holy crap, what if we get hungry later? It's the spiraling of other thoughts, that tornado that comes in after. Every one of those thoughts, the bartender is just like, I've got 10 shot glasses and now I'm just lining them up and I'm throwing them at you left and right. That's the difference. Besides just getting a sip and drink, we're now doing 10 shots in a row and wondering why we feel like a crazy ass. So when you do the body scan, It forces your brain to stop the tornadic thoughts. You can't judge the urge, and you can't judge yourself, and you can't obsess over food if your brain has a task. So the task we want to give it is to breathe and then do a body scan to figure out what is going on in our body so that our brain has something else to think about. That settles the nerves. It gets the chemicals fleshed out. All chemicals have about a 90-second lifespan. That's why the body scan is so important. Now, when we re-release Module 2 on September 25th in No BS, I have re-recorded the body scan to where you have a video that just does it. So you literally, all of you, if you want to have the sound of my voice to do it, I'm giving it to you. So you don't have to listen to the long lesson with the body scan in it. I've separate, one of the biggest requests that we had was, can we get something like that to where I can just plug and play? And so I think the video is maybe 4 to 5 minutes long, and I literally just walk you through it. I don't even know if it's that long. Okay. Once you've felt your urge, you've done your body scan, this is a key step. The one thing that we don't want our brain to do is to immediately start obsessing over food again. So we have to give it a task. And here's the task. You want to take a moment to recognize your progress. You want to thank yourself in this moment. You want to say, Corinne, seriously, I'm so proud of you. A few weeks ago, you didn't even recognize your urges. A few weeks ago, you wouldn't even try this. But you are learning how to change your relationship with food. And that means a lot. I think this step, step three, is so important to the process because your brain was probably looking for comfort, dopamine, feel good. We're usually eating to feel better. And what we forget is that true happiness, true feeling better, can't ever come from food. All feelings come from our brain, every one of them. Even if you eat a box of cookies, the cookies didn't make you feel good. You ate the cookies, and what made you feel good was either you quit thinking about something you didn't want to think about, like, I should have gotten more done today. You never get a break. This is the only you time you ever get. So your brain, when it was eating cookies, was now thinking, this tastes good. It wasn't ever the cookies making you feel good. You switched your thinking. You stopped one line of thinking and created a new line of thinking. So what I want us all to learn is that we could just skip the cookie part. So for some of you, as you're experiencing your urges, and like what you can learn from your discovery worksheets is like, well, what was it when I was eating that I was now allowing myself to either stop thinking, or what was I thinking about? And what feelings did that create? How could I do that without having to eat now? That's the what I want to learn. But you can't learn it if you're always given cookies and cake and pizza and burgers and wine and all this stuff, the credit for you feeling better. So the reason why we want to recognize progress is because you need to teach yourself there are more ways to feel good about you than eating. And when you recognize the progress, your brain gets dopamine. Your brain starts thinking, oh, sitting with an urge, that ain't half bad now. A lot of you right now have a lot of thoughts about urges, that they're hard and they're long and they take forever and it's going to be so uncomfortable and I'm not going to like it and all this other stuff. That sets you up to be fearful of the process. And if you don't do the thanking yourself part, you don't change the relationship with the process. You don't want to try it. So we want to make sure that in that moment, we recognize progress. Step four, remind yourself why not eating might be better. So we want to thank ourselves, and then we want to tell ourselves, this has given me an opportunity to figure out what's really going on in my life. When I don't eat, I get the opportunity to figure out, you know, maybe there's some needs that are going unmet right now. And if I keep eating, I'm never going to figure out what my truest needs are and how I can start figuring out how to meet them. The last step is now to do something new to solidify this. So you want to come up with some activities that could be just as easy to do instead of eating. So like for me, at nighttime, I really, like, even though I had used to eat and watch TV, I had to really say, like, watching TV is a gift I give myself. A lot of times I ate in front of the TV because I had judgment about sitting and watching television as if there were better things I should be doing. And I really realized, I was like, there's nothing better than sitting back after a long day and watching TV. Let somebody else entertain me. I've been entertaining people all day. Like, here I am on, you know, camera right now. I'm entertaining people all day today. I had to rework some of those thoughts that I was having. That's why we journal. That's why we do 4Ns. That's why we do discovery worksheets. That's why we do all of this work. So for you, it's like thinking about, what is the other new thing? For some of you, you're not making space at all for reading, baths, shaving your legs, taking your makeup off all night, whatever it is. So you just want to come up with a few things that you could do. All right. So step one, we're going to not eat. Corinne is putting the hybrid 1A step in there, pause plus permission. Step two is feel the urge by doing a body scan. Step three, thank yourself. Recognize your progress. If your daughter, your mother, your best friend, whomever did something like this, what would you tell them? Would you be proud? Then you have that conversation with you. Remind yourself, step four, why not eating could be better than actually eating. And then step five, do something new. Figure out what it is you truly needed anyway, and then go do that. All right. That is the busting urges process. I'm going to get to some questions. We have quite a few. I knew we would. What do you do when your urge lasts for days and actually becomes an obsession? Well, if this is my thing, like if you're craving something, you first of all, just kind of decide, is this a craving? Is this an urge? Like kind of what, there's not a big difference other than like, I know me, like every now and then I get like the biggest fucking hankering for, I know y'all are going to laugh, fried chicken livers. Seriously, I love fried chicken livers. I actually have a hankering right now. I just got off my period and I usually am a little iron low. And I was going to text my sister-in-law today and say, like, you wouldn't mind frying me up some chicken livers tonight, would you? That-a-way, tomorrow when she comes, she can bring them. Figure out whatever it is that you're having this urge for and then plan for it. And just decide, it's okay to have urges for things. And if they keep coming back, what would be the harm in just planning to have it? That would be the question that I would ask. Is there a reason why you're not eating it? That's probably the first thing to look at. What is a salad bar in the fridge, please? I'm in the UK. I heard it on the podcast. Also, crystallized water. I don't know what crystallized water. I bet you're talking about Crystal Light. There is a powdery drink in the States. I don't know if y'all have it over there. It's called Crystal Light. It is where you can put shit in your water to make it taste better. Salad bar in the fridge is simply like whatever you're going to put on your salad. You can cut all of it up. So like if you like hard-boiled eggs, you can go ahead and do your eggs. You can go ahead and chop them. You put them in a glass bowl. Lettuce, you do the same thing. I always say keep everything in glass because glass doesn't breathe like plastic. And so it keeps your vegetables crispy. So if you do diced celery, radishes, onions, all that stuff, you just kind of, you make a salad bar in your fridge that when you're ready to have your salad, you pull out what you want, you make your salad, but it's all chopped and ready so that you're not having to do that in the moment. I did it for years. I don't do it anymore. My sister-in-law cooks for us now. But when I used to, the 15 years that I did food prep, I would do a salad bar in the fridge so that the stuff that I liked, plus Logan liked, plus Chris liked, was all very different for salads. And so we would just go in and everybody could get what they wanted out of it. I can wait a minute to 90 seconds through an urge, but the urge doesn't subside. It seems to go on and on like a wave. How can I work through this? Or is this all about thoughts? It's all about thoughts, Rhonda. It's about learning how to interrupt those thoughts. So when you have it, the biggest thing that if an urge keeps coming back, everyone, let's say your urges keep coming back, it's probably because you haven't figured out the underlying need under it. So no one really has an urge for food. I want y'all to, I know y'all are like, that's not true. I have urges for food all the time. We have an urge for what we think the food will provide for us. So sometimes it's a distraction. Sometimes it's to get away from something. Sometimes it's to fill time. You want to look at what, like, if I'm not eating, there's a couple of ways you can ask this question. If I'm not going to eat, then what is it that I would feel like I need to do or think about? Sometimes we're eating to avoid whatever we are going to be thinking about if we can't eat. So I want you to just imagine, like, if literally food was not the option, you wouldn't just sit around and think about the food. There would be something, it's like, what else would I be thinking about? So, what common examples of this, just to make it a little clear, is very often, I see this a lot with moms, especially mothers that work and have children. Well, it's honestly, it's even if you stay home. I had the same issue when I stayed home and I didn't work. So at night, a lot of us like to eat. And what ends up happening is if you're not going to eat, you start suddenly thinking about what you didn't get done that day. Like, am I contributing enough? Like, I used to think this all the time. Like, I don't make my own money. Like, I should be doing more. I always felt like I needed to do a lot in order to, like, you know, Chris is at work. I just had this big story around all of this. And I'd feel really guilty at night. And I would feel really bad. And it was no wonder I'd want to eat, because I'd want to eat so I wouldn't sit around and think about, like, you don't have a job. Like, you're just taking care of the kid. You know, I had to, like, start realizing that that was very valuable work, that I contributed at a high level. If you work and you have a kid, very often what happens for moms at night is mom guilt of, like, I worked all day. I didn't even want to see my kids when I got home. And you feel guilty because you're not just, like, able to come home from a long day at work and just be like, oh my God, it's my children, the lights of my life. You know, let me talk to you, 3-year-old. You know, a lot of, like, especially for moms of younger kids, you know, a lot of times I hear they have a lot of guilt because they're not interested in their kids. I'm like, well, what do you fucking expect? You're 35 or 40 years old. No, you're not interested in what your 5-year-old wants to tell you about kindergarten. You might be interested in, like, for a minute, but there's no shame in being like, you know, we just don't have much in common. It'd be like you go into the playground and seeing a bunch of other people's kids and being like, I feel really bad. I have nothing in common with all these children. So there's that. For some of you who are, let's say that you're in your retirement years. Sometimes what I hear from my 55 plus group is at night, after their kids are gone, they sit around and they're just like, I'm getting old. There's not much left for me. Like, they thought they would look forward to being retired and their kids being gone. And what they realize is they don't know who they are. They haven't defined themselves. Or they had defined themselves and it's not in a great way. Like, you know, you've wasted all these years. You should have finished your degree. Like, who's going to want you? You didn't work for it. Like, Missy had the big story. Missy is one of our team members. Like, when her kids left, it's really hard for her because she was a dedicated mom and she didn't work all those years. And she had a big story around, like, you know, nobody would want to hire me. I don't have skills. It was very scary for her, which was obviously a lie because she's one of my best employees. She's amazing. But that's a lot of times why we eat. And that's why a lot of times those urges don't stop, because we're not looking at what's underneath all of it. That is the power of the journaling piece, is to find those things and to be like, it's no wonder I'm wanting to eat, because this is the story my brain is making up about my life right now. And this story feels very true and it feels very real. And stories that feel true and real also often feel very scary if you don't like them. And so your job is to start pulling the story apart. That's why we use the four N's. It's like, you know, I notice I'm thinking these things about myself. Why would that be normal? But what is the real, really the only thing happening in my life right now? And if I was going to have new perceptions of my life, if I was going to tell this, and like, what would my friend say about my life? Like, if she was looking at the version of my story, would my best friend agree with me and be like, yeah, that's the truth? You should have more in common with your five-year-old. And every minute of your life, you should be hanging on their every word and never wanting anything for yourself. You know, if your best friend wouldn't say that, shouldn't be your story either. And sometimes for me, one of the easiest ways, there's two easy hacks for me to figure out how to rework these stories that cause me to want to eat. Number one is to actually ask my friend Jane. So you all, like, if you don't have an accountability partner or group inside of NoBS, please go to the website, nobswomen.com, log into your membership site and request one. If you're in the chat right now, will you please share if you talk to your accountability groups to help you unwind your shitty stories? Reach out to them and say, like, here's my current story that I've uncovered that I'm telling about myself. What is your perspective? And a lot of times Jane will tell me, like, well, I know you think that, but that's not what I think. Like, when I look at it, here's what I'm thinking. Just hearing what somebody else thinks, even if my story feels true, there's also this truth. Wow, there's more than one way to look at this. My version is one version. My version is not the truth. That is a very powerful thing to think about when you are considering rewriting your stories. I don't have to believe something new just yet, but I can believe that I've heard two different versions of the same thing. So that means mine is one way to tell it. And I get to decide when I want to quit telling it that way over and over and over again. The second way to do it is, if you don't want to reach out to someone, is to just literally say, like, all right, here's what I'm thinking. Someone that loves me would probably say these things. If my best friend came to me with this story, this is what I would tell her. It doesn't mean that your story is going to stop dead immediately. It means that you're giving your brain other alternate ways to now think. And then every time you tell that story over in your brain, every time you think those things again, you at least have something else to think, to say, like, yeah, that's what I automatically think. That's what I normally think. But also, I'm working on believing this over here too. This could be true too. Other people think this. This is not the only way. Like, there's not just one way to tell this. There's other ways to be thinking about this stuff. And that's very powerful. My most intense urges happen when I'm setting up something complicated at work that I'm responsible for. I have to pay some continued attention to. but I'm now working on it from the privacy of my office. I can speed eat food, but I'm afraid to take my attention away from my work enough for a body scan, even if it's only 90 seconds. What can I do in this moment? I'm thinking I can probably do some box breathing. You can do box breathing, Vivian, but you can also do this. Why are you scared? Like, what is this big, terrible, badass thing that's going to happen if you take 90 seconds away? If you take 90 seconds versus the 27 seconds to eat. Like, a lot of times for me, what helps my brain like realize, like, I'm just kind of being ridiculous is to say, like, the next time you speed eat, I want you to time yourself. Probably you're going to eat in 20 seconds, maybe 40. That's if you're a Hoover. Okay. And then I'm asking you to do 90 seconds. And so then I want you to say, like, all right, 40 minus 90 in 50, like in 50 seconds, how much work am I going to get done? 50 seconds of breaking my attention to do a body scan. Is that going to significantly derail my project? I work on very complicated things. My husband is a programmer. My husband actually takes a break every, I think every 53 minutes, he has a timer that goes off in his office to break what he's doing so that for 7 minutes, he walks around and does chores so that he comes back so that his brain is refreshed and so that it gets back in. Your brain only has so long it actually can hold a sustainable, efficient amount of focus. 53 minutes is like baller status. He's been working on it for years. Most people start with 25-minute segments. My son does 25-minute segments. So it's just like sometimes when you think it through, you realize that, oh, my thoughts are irrational. Like, I'm afraid to take my attention away from my work to do a body scan. Afraid of what? In that 50 seconds, what's going to happen to your project? Because here's the other thing. You speed eat, you're building a terrible relationship with your project. You're telling your project that I need to compromise my dreams and my goals to get you done. It's the only way I can get you done. That's not true. It's like, how can you be doing your work where everybody wins? I love the four-step process and it makes sense. But how can I stir up my willingness to sit with urges instead of eating or drinking over them? I've been trying so long to lose this weight. I've tried everything. This is taking forever. These thoughts have been coming up a lot lately, and I feel like they're messing with my willingness to do the work in the moment of having an urge. So how do I stir up my willingness to do the busting the urge process? You have to confront those thoughts. Like, I've tried. I'm tired of trying. Why? Only because you keep talking shitty about it. Like, if you think about this process, if you're thinking, all right, I want to try the busting the urge process, but I've tried everything. I'm so tired of trying. You have to tell yourself, bitch, you ain't tried everything. You ain't tried the busting the urge process. So that's a lie. Don't sit there and tell yourself lies. Second thing, I'm tired of trying. No, you're not. Yeah, I just tell myself all the time, you're never tired of trying. Here's how I know it's a lie. Because I'm sitting on a fucking call trying to learn how to do something different. I'm interested in learn. Like, here's a big power thought. Rather than I'm tired of trying, how about I'm interested in making trying not so hard on myself? When you talk like shit about the processes, that makes you tired. So if you think about to be willing to do this process, y'all, you can't be sitting there going, it's probably going to be a grind. It probably isn't going to work. I'm such a loser. You can't say shit like that and then wonder why you don't want to do it. If I was gifting all of you a trip to Hawaii and I'm like, y'all, we're going to go into Hawaii. There's 5 steps to get there. And when you get there, it's going to be beautiful. We're going to have a good time. Like, we're going to fly across the country. Everybody bring your headphones so we can entertain ourselves, blah, 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 blah. Y'all are like, let's go. All right. This doesn't sound bad. Now, if I said, hey, we're all going on a trip to Hawaii. We're going to have to tell our families that we're leaving them and they're just going to have to figure shit out without us. And when we get to the airport, there's going to be really long lines. I anticipate all kinds of turbulence all the way there. Bring your barf bags because I'm sure some bitch is going to do it and it's going to start a big old power circle of everybody vomiting. And then when we land, we're going to run 10 miles before we even get started, blah, blah, blah. Nobody'd want to go Hawaii with me. Y'all, if you want to look forward to a process, you have to think about the benefits of doing it, that it might not be as hard as you think. It's worth a try. We'll see what happens. I bet if I try it 20 times, it'll be really easy by the 20th time. First couple of times, I'll be getting used to it. First couple of times, it might not go the way I think it should, but I bet you I learned some stuff. That's how somebody who's willing and a baller talks about things. Someone who is like confused as to why they're not motivated to do things are doing this. Well, I would try it, but it's just such work to lose weight. It's not work. Yo, I don't ask y'all to do it. Like, this is where we have to call ourselves on the carpet. I don't ask you to do anything complicated. You ain't got to do no math. You ain't got to weigh nothing. You ain't got to do anything other than before you eat, ask yourself, am I fucking hungry? And if I'm not, I'm going to sit with an urge. And I bet in 30 days, my life is radically different than it is today. How about some of y'all start talking like this? I bet this process won't be near as hard as I've always thought it would be. That's how you get willing. We have to watch how we talk about things. Y'all talk about things being hard as if that is just like, no, it's just the way it is, Corinne. I read it in the, you know, fifth chapter of the Bible. It's like, no, this is not in the Bible. You have to question, is it hard because it's actually hard, or is it hard because I've never challenged myself to think it's worth a try? The worst thing, like literally for all of you, the worst thing that can happen is you try it and it doesn't work. If you don't try it, it's already not working. You don't lose anything. And a lot of you, yeah, but if I try and it doesn't work, I'm going to beat myself up, Grin. I'm going to like laugh myself to see you go to the toilet. I am guaranteeing most of you are not sitting around with self-esteem that is like a skyscraper right now. So your self-esteem is probably not going to no toilet. If you don't try, you probably beat yourself up for not trying. Probably sit around like, oh, I just wish I could be like all the Mother Nobius women. They seem to have their shit together. They're doing all the things. It's like, if you're already beating yourself up anyway, then you might as well try. And if it works, great. If it doesn't work, the worst that will happen is you'll keep talking to yourself like you do now. Where you also could have door number two, which is if it doesn't work, I could learn how not to be an asshole to thyself and say, it's not that big a deal that it didn't work this time. I'll try again and I'll try again and I'll try again. And if I'm not beating myself up, I bet one day it'll work, said every success story I ever have coached. None of them did things perfectly. Every success story did not believe they would lose all of their weight when they first started. I've never met anyone be like, I joined your program and from day one, I was on fire with belief. They may have started with a little belief, but they had their moments. They had doubts, they had fears, they had moments of shakiness and stuff. And the most of them started off with immense amounts of it, just like I did. Like, I started off with zip belief, zip anything, doubting it all, and just telling myself, but I'm trying. Like, I'm just going to try. I might as well be doubting and scared. I'm doubting I'll ever lose my weight anyway, so I might as well be trying to do something about it. I'm scared I'm never going to lose my weight, so I might as well be doing something about it. If I'm already going to be obsessing over that shit, I might as well be actively trying to change it and to prove myself wrong. Let's see. My issue is that there are days that I'm just not hungry and worry that because I don't eat, I might overeat later. So just remind yourself of this. Sometimes I get scared I'll overeat later, but that doesn't mean I will. It just means my brain is having an irrational thought. If I am just not hungry, I'm just going to eat. And then you just want to tell yourself, it's normal to think that you would overeat later. Maybe you've done it in the past. You just tell yourself, but that's just not the case now. I've learned that they don't have to be connected. Just because I get scared it will happen, that doesn't mean they have to be connected. I can just tell myself in the moments when I'm scared, I can just say like, hey, if you get hungry, we're just going to eat and you don't have to be worried and you don't have to do anything. We'll just eat and we will see what happens. And I bet if you eat calmly, you'll find you don't overeat. You've just in the past, this is what typically happens with everyone is when this kind of urge happens. In the past, when you've not been hungry and you didn't eat, the moment you started eating, you turned your brain off and you just ate. And you probably did overeat and you thought it was because you didn't eat before. You applied that thinking. What really happened is when you started eating, you quit thinking. And that's what we do different in OBS, is we were keeping our brain thinking the whole time. So it was never because you were overly hungry. It's because you thought it was connected. So you can tell yourself that. And one of the other things that some of you do, even if, like, let's say you've had cases where you were overly hungry on diets, and then when you finally did eat, you overate. So you were having the binge restrict cycle happening. You can just tell yourself, it would be natural for me, my body to be triggered to think that when I start eating, that it was like other times. That's not like this time anymore. I'm not depriving myself of food like I did on other diets. I actually am only eating when I'm hungry now. Last question. I eat a few bites, then feel full, but I'm hungry 20 minutes later. Do I eat more at a meal? Yes, you need to eat more at a meal. You're probably not eating to enough. Like, you think you feel full. Probably what's happening is you no longer feel hungry. It's like you've turned the signal off, but you haven't. If you're getting hungry within 20 minutes, that means you've ate just enough to stop sending hunger signals. But that doesn't mean you've ate to enough. Eat a little more. Eat a few bites more and see what happens until you get to where you start understanding what enough might be. That also equals 3 to 4 hours of not eating food. Okay, that's it for today. We will have a coach on Sunday. I will be at a 2-day conference this weekend, learning how to coach scary things, learning more about like fat phobia, social conditioning, all that kind of stuff around weight loss and stuff. So I won't be here Saturday and Sunday. But I think I forget who's the coach this weekend. I have asked this question 1,000 times and I forget every single time. It is Coach Christy, and she is going to be doing the call on effort eating after drinking for 2.0. That's going to be the coaching at 11 a.m. And then there's also a maintenance call at 1 p.m. for all of our maintenance people. All right. Y'all have a good week. I will see y'all next week. Bye, y'all.